Hi everyone, Alicia here. I'm here for episode number 7 of the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about today because we're talking about resilience. So if you listen to my podcast that I put up last week, I was talking about the fact that this Friday is the National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence. So I was talking about a planned experiment last week that sort of got us thinking about the impact of our words. And so if our words can promote a plant to grow healthy and strong, then imagine what our words can do to others. So obviously, you know, every situation of bullying is significantly different. I have posted a blog on bullying this week and what bullying actually is. So when we actually look at what bullying is, it's intentional words that an individual or a group of individuals say or do to somebody else, but it has to be intentional, okay? Sometimes kids might say something offhanded that wasn't actually intentionally meant to hurt, and so the distinction is that something like that would not be considered as bullying, but if it was intentional to cause hurt and harm, then that is seen as bullying. So you can read about that on our website, www.breakawaytuition.com.au, and have a look under blogs, and you can see all of my la-di-da about bullying and what it exactly is. But today I want to talk about resilience. So part of bullying and acknowledging the impact that bullying has is that we can also look at what resilience is and how we can build our children's resilience up. This is particularly important because if we're not building up our kids' resilience to outside things that might influence us in some way, either our emotional being and emotional strength, really, if we're not building that up, when it comes to, you know, kids growing up and having to face some of these elements without us and without our helping hand, they're not going to know how to move forward from that. And so we want to try and help our kids shine brightly all the time, even when others are trying to extinguish their bright lights. And we can do this in a few ways. So emotional strength is a really big thing. Obviously, our emotional strength leads into our mental health, and we want to equip our kids with skills that they can use and things that they can do to help improve their mental health and to help them apply, you know, the lessons that we can learn from these types of activities to as many facets of their life as possible. A lot of the time, I think, particularly in today's society with the increase in technology, we're sort of, although there's lots and lots of things on emotional strength and there's lots and lots of you know, meditations and podcasts available on how we can improve this in our kids, a lot of the time we're not practicing that in our home environment because we are assuming that they're getting that at school. And yeah, like lots of schools now are including meditation and yoga and, you know, mindful thinking into their classroom practices, but the way that operates in a classroom and builds resilience within a classroom situation and the way that it builds resilience at home are completely different things. So I think it's as equally as important to introduce to our kids, you know, ways that we can build resilience at home. So one of the things that has been highlighted heavily is that the way that parents deal with bullying in the home environment and the way that we treat our kids in our home environment all impacts the emotional strength that the kids have. So if we, you know, if our child comes to us and says that someone is bullying them at school and we sweep that under the carpet and we don't have a conversation about it and we don't have a conversation about what the problem is and how it's occurring, and then giving our kids the skills and the tools that they need to be able to overcome that obstacle, then we're not teaching them to face problems and issues that they might face later on in their lives. So I've written a blog article this week that has 10 different things that you can do at home to help build resilience in our kids. It's really important, like I always say, that the things that I talk about on my blog are, you know, from my perspective, they might not work for your family. Something completely different might work from your for your family, but if we're all working together to find things that will help us and help our kids to build this emotional strength and resilience that we really need them to develop early on in life to sustain them throughout their adult lives as well, then, you know, we're working together as a community. So the first thing that will help is if we're actually listening to our kids. So a lot of the time when they come home from school, we might say that we're listening to them, but we might be too busy doing other tasks at the same time. And so we really need to make sure that we actually stop everything and really listen to our kids and listen to what they're not telling us as well. So, you know, watch their reactions, watch the way that they interact with us physically, because all of this adds clues into what they're experiencing and how they're experiencing it. The second thing is to introduce your child to mindful practices. So you will see over the next few days, I'll be posting on Instagram and Facebook a few yoga poses. So for those that don't know, I'm really close to finishing my yoga teaching course. But in that, I really want to show kids how we can use these types of things to help us build emotional strength, to help us deal with problems, but also to help us feel calm within ourselves and within our minds in the society of technology where we're constantly switched on and constantly moving from one thing to the next. We really need to have these types of mindful practices in all of our lives to help us really connect with ourselves and our emotions and our feelings, and then how we can calm ourselves down so that we aren't always reacting to things all the time, but we're actually processing the events that are occurring to us as well. So when I'm talking mindful practices, you know, there are some really, really good kids meditation that is available. That's a really awesome thing to use to calm our kids down in the afternoon, to help them feel refreshed, but also to help them connect with their feelings. You've probably seen mindful colouring in before with those really awesome patterns, but those types of things where we're taking them away from the constant, you know, things that are happening on the television and on our phones and laptops and flashy things and everything, something where we're just simply colouring in, where we're with our thoughts, where we can process things. That's a really awesome thing to use. But also, like I said, yoga. So there are some, you don't have to do a full yoga session, you know, through a 30 minutes, 40 minute session, but just a few poses. Just show your kids a few yoga poses and show them what it's about. What? Why would I use, you know, the Warrior One pose? And I say that's to, you know, make our kids feel strength and powerful like a warrior. Why would I use the Tree Pose, which would be used to promote stillness and calm in ourselves? So those types of things are really helpful for kids, and we are seeing them more and more in the educational field as it is. The third thing is to promote problem solving. When we're promoting problem solving, we're sort of sitting down with our kids and seeing what exactly is the problem that they are facing and getting them to brainstorm how we're going to face that problem and what things we can do with that problem. Also getting them to identify who they can turn to for help with that problem is a massive thing. Often we just take it on ourselves as parents and solve the problem ourselves, rather than getting our kids to think through the problem and how they can solve it. It gives kids power as well if they can see that we're trying to work with them and get them to think about the situation and think about what they can do in the situation. They own the solution a lot more and they can get a lot out of that. Number four, help face the future. This is another big one. There's lots of things around goal setting at the moment. I'm big on goal setting. Not that I'm good at sticking to goals that I set, but if we're helping our kids to face the future, you know, there is tomorrow, there is next year, there is 6 months away, and getting them to recognize that those things are there, that we don't have to be stuck in today, and that there is something to look forward to in the future, and getting them to identify what things are they looking forward to, what things do they want to be able to achieve at the end of that time. They're really, really positive things to try and get our kids to work through. Number five, lead by example. So if we encounter problems ourselves as adults and we constantly just sweep them under the carpet and don't actually deal with the issue, we're teaching our kids that. Again, well, sometimes we don't think that the way that we are, you know, showing our kids things at home, that they don't internalize it, but they do. So, you know, getting them to see that, you know, mummy or daddy, they are having a problem and this is how that they're solving it and how they're working through it can help our kids in that regard too. Number six, making our kids feel accepted and encouraged. So we might say, but I always make them feel accepted and I always encourage them. But sometimes it's the things that we don't say. So if our kid comes home and they're really excited about something, they might be in a singing class at school and they're really excited what they're singing and you roll your eyes or you don't listen, or, you know, there's something that you do that makes your child feel like, oh, well, maybe what I'm doing is silly and what I'm excited about is silly, then they're going to internalize that and it will pop up later in adult life as well. There's lots and lots of studies to suggest that that does happen. So, you know, we want to stop, like I said before, we want to stop everything, really listen to our kids and encourage them. You know, if we hear them say, oh, I'm not very good at this, help them turn it around. And that's sort of one of the next things that I'm talking about as well, building the positives from negatives. You know, oh, I can't do this. But it's not that you can't do that. It just means that it's going to take you a little bit more time to be able to achieve that skill. But hey, you're really, really great at doing, you know, you're really great at painting. You're really good at dancing. Just because you're struggling with mathematics, that's not the end of the world. That's okay. You know, even sharing with our kids that, you know, hey, mummy wasn't very good at maths either, and that's okay. It hasn't, you know, affected my life. So, yeah, making them feel really, really accepted in what they're doing, making sure that we really encourage them and encourage them in, you know, not just saying, oh, well, because you're not good at maths, then you don't have to do maths. You know, it's important that we use these skills. Encourage them and show them, well, this is another way that you can do this, or this is another way that you can do that. And we want to keep moving, you know. We don't want to go backwards. We don't want to make our kids think that, well, if I don't want to do something or I'm not good at something, then I don't have to do something. But it's about showing them that we take little steps and that we always move forward and we never give up. You know, if I'm trying my hardest, it doesn't matter if I still fail that maths test because I've tried my absolute hardest and I know that's the best I can try. Like I said just before, building our positives from our negatives, that's a massive one. And that goes into inner critical voice as well, which is another one of the points that I have written down. So getting them to question, you know, my voice is saying that I'm dumb because I can't do addition. Getting them to turn that around to say, well, I can't do addition yet, but I can do these things. I can use, you know, counters to add up. And so that's something I can do. So I can do addition, just not yet in the way that they're wanting me to do it at school. Practicing feeling management. So I said a little bit about this before. If our kids understand how they feel and understand why they feel that way and then how they can take that feeling and change that feeling, that's a really big thing, especially nowadays with, like I said, rising technology and everything. We're sweeping our feelings under the carpet. We're not addressing our feelings. We're not talking about our feelings. There's some really, really great things that you can do with kids to do with feelings. There's, you know, I've seen someone with little egg shakers putting different faces on. So how are you feeling today? Pick one of these faces to show me how you're feeling. Why are you feeling that way? What things can we do to change that way that you're feeling? It might seem silly having things like egg shakers with faces on them, but if our kids can't actually voice their feeling, which a lot of the times they struggle to do, if they can pick something visually that represents how they're feeling, then that sort of builds that barrier that you might experience in that. But yeah, like I said, even writing down, like, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling angry because Jack had said that I am not as smart as him because I didn't get as good as he did in the math test. Well, you know, Jack obviously isn't as good as drawing than you are. So, you know, what he might be stronger at, you're stronger in another area. And also addressing the problem head on. Again, all of these things sort of roll into each other. But if we're not addressing the problem, and again, back to bullying, if we don't actually address what is happening to our kids and we don't actually help them to solve the issues that they're facing and we sweep it under the carpet, then your child's going to stop coming to you. They're going to stop coming to tell you what they're experiencing. They're going to feel like you're not listening to them, and then that's going to snowball into something that may be, you know, quite horrific. But if we're actually addressing the problem, you know, Suzanne came home from school today. She has said that Katie is, you know, stealing her bag at lunchtime. So to address that problem with my child, I'm going to talk to them about where they could leave their bag instead, what teachers they should talk to if this is occurring regularly, and then I might even go into the school with my child and talk to someone, the deputy principal or their year advisor, about what's actually happening and have that conversation with my child and myself. You know, that's addressing the problem. Just by saying, well, you know, just ignore it and it will stop and it won't happen again, that's, you know, not addressing the problem. That's sweeping it under the carpet. And like I said, all of these things are about building emotional strength for our kids, showing them support and giving them the skills that they can use in their adult lives as well. You know, everything rolls in to the way that they present themselves to the world as an adult. And if we're not helping them build those skills in our own homes, then when we're doing them a disservice as parents. Anyway, that was a really, really quick one. I hope that you got something out of that that you can use. Remember that I'm posting some more yoga poses up on Instagram and Facebook, particularly to help you think about how you can introduce mindfulness practices. I'll also put together a a sheet for you, a PDF sheet that might go through a couple of these different activities that you can give a go, and where you can purchase some more resources to help you as well. Sorry that my daughter was in the background of that podcast, but hopefully you found it really helpful. Really looking forward to tomorrow and the National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence. We do have to stand together as a community on these issues, and the more that we talk about it in that open social, you know, marketplace, the more that we can impact and create a change for our kids and for adults as well and everybody else. You can find us on Stitcher, find us on iTunes. Make sure that you subscribe to one of those channels. Leave us a review so other people can find us that might find some of our podcasts helpful for them. Otherwise, I'll talk to you next week. Have a good week. Bye.